desire an entrance in your prayers. Thankful to be here today. Appreciate all that God has done for us, and we're thankful for each one that's here. We like the congregation to turn to 3:15 and sing verse 1, please. Verse 1, please.
Faithful at your post. Oh, tell of Jesus' love to thee, that all who here may know his precious blood can set thee free and wash them white as snow. Go forth and break the living bread to every hungry soul, and wake poor sinners from the dead ere judgments on them roll.
Thank the Lord. It's a very serious song. It says, go forth, ye messenger of light, led by the Holy Ghost. You definitely want to be led by the Holy Spirit in endeavoring to bring forth the Word of God. Arrayed in garments clean and white and faithful at your post. Means a lot to be faithful to speak the Word of God. That which God has given, not that which we desire within ourselves, not that which comes from man. And may the Lord help us, not that which comes from AI. I don't want to step on any toes. But I believe we want to actually have something from God. Says, go forth, beloved, with present truth, glad tidings to proclaim. From east to west, from north to south, that Jesus truly came to heal the sick and make them whole. Lost sinners to redeem and give them peace within the soul, O blessed, blessed theme. Go forth, ye mighty hosts, with hearts made pure and true. Stand fast for God at any cost, and he will be to you a present help in time of need, a glorious conquering power. He'll keep your spirit free indeed each day and every hour. Go forth, unsheathe the sword, and wield it for the right. Hew to the line, cut every cord that binds insectish night. If you should opposition meet, turn not to right nor left. Stand on the word and him complete, the rock of ages cleft. You know, it's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he would have for you. But I would say, in preaching the Word of God, you need a call. Not from man, you need a call from God. I think about this, Samuel got a call. And instead, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I believe it was speaking, did not know the Lord in that way. But he called Samuel, Samuel. And finally Samuel, I believe he replied back, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear." And the Lord gave him a message to go to Eli. Maybe all ministers remember their call and how they were called. But for Samuel, I feel that was a pretty heavy message for the first message. I don't know if I've yet have a message quite that heavy, even with all the years of preaching. The Lord first called me. How many years ago, I don't know. It was over in Coffeyville. Sunday evening. I believe he gave me a message on faith. My family was there, and Brother and Sister Beasley, so I didn't have that hard of a job for a first message. But there's a need of a call and a need to be obedient unto God. We find in Matthew, the 28th chapter, that the Lord is saying, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." You know, and that's still good for us today. Yes. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." See, I'd just like to say that a minister needs a call from God. So when things go bad, you need to go back to the one that called you. Amen. Songwriter said, "I know in whom I have believed." But when things go heavy, you need to go back to the one that called you. It's a little different if you just picked it out for a career. You picked it out for money. Seems like a lot of preachers dropped out during the pandemic, closed up the churches. But the thing is when you have a call from God, it says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you." Teaching people to actually live by the word of God. Teaching people to put the word of God with a high priority in their life. Putting God first. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And God says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So we haven't got to the end of the world. So that tells me that God's promise is still true. I believe in another portion of scripture says they went everywhere preaching the word. God working with them. You know, it's a wonderful thing to get something from God. I can't really say, you know, I thought about it. I can't really say that I love preaching. I thought about it and I had to ponder it in a while. Do I even like preaching? I do admit I enjoy hearing from God. And I don't mind preparing a message from God. But I don't know if I can really say that preaching is something that I like. You know, when God is good, sometimes he may give you 3 or 4 messages at a time. Sometimes you might not have anything. And wonder, what is the Lord doing? Now Jeremiah, the first chapter in verse 4, saying, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. See, the minister is in quite a place. But he said, be not afraid of their faces. I've often wondered sometimes why God decided to use man in bringing forth the word of God. You know, way back in the beginning, you know, God came down and talked with Adam and Eve. We find back in the days of Noah that God is saying, my spirit will not always strive with man. You know, and I'm persuaded that God's spirit is yet striving with people today. And I pray that his spirit will continue to strive with people. As wickedness is in the land, people are doing things that they have no business doing. And we need the spirit of God to strive with their hearts. But somewhere along the line, God in his wisdom decided, I'm going to have a man go down there and talk to them face to face about the things that they're doing. And as a result of that, many times man faces the blunt. We find much in the olden days that they killed the prophet. Amen. Sometimes they've been told basically to shut up. And as we speak, sometimes their lives have been taken away. But God is saying, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, the preacher is not there to simply entertain you. And we find that out in the world that entertainment is big in churches. We find there are many people that actually go to church to be entertained. But that is not the way of God. God is saying, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, it's a solemn responsibility to actually give out what God has given. And that can put you in a tight spot. See, I don't believe in preaching by observation. Just what I see, and well, I pick a topic that Sunday morning. But if God has already given me something and you just happen to be there in that condition, don't expect me to change it. Amen. I'm not going to deliberately look out and see somebody and start picking at them. But if God has already given it to me, you can be assured I plan to preach it. Says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations, speaking to Jeremiah, and to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. This man has quite a job on his hands. You know, they took Jeremiah and threw him in a pit. Sometimes the devil will literally attack the ministry. Heard of it happening sometime right after a good meeting. Seemed like the devil just get all mad and attack the ministry. But may God strengthen the ministry. May God bless the people of God. You know, Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, he's got a dilemma on his hands. And verse 7, he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. See, are you actually ready to follow God? Songwriter said, I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. If thy voice I hear before me, fearlessly I'll follow thee. All right, come on and go. You have, Brother Jeremiah. He said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocking me. What are you going through? Amen. In your walk with Christ, what are you actually going through? Are you ready to say, I'll follow thee, my Savior, whatsoever my lot may be? See, he's saying, I'm in derision. Everyone mocketh me. You know, when it gets kind of hard, where are you going to go? I pray that God will help you to be like the songwriter said, I mean to go right on. We can sing it, can't we? How is it when we get in the midst of it? Jeremiah said, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoke, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. See, you got a dilemma on your hand. You got something there. The trials, the test of life are pressing in on him. And he said, I will not make mention of him. I made mention so many times. I'm not going to make mention of him anymore.
nor speak any more in name. That's a dilemma for a preacher to be in. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, praise the Lord. You know, it's hard to stop when God, there's something deep down within you, praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Within my heart is a burning fire shut up in my bones. Amen. And I was weary with forbearing, weary with trying to hold back. And I could not stay. You know, that's a wonderful thing when you feel the unction of God, the anointing of God. Almost feel like you could just go out there and preach to the corn stalks. Preach on the streets. Anybody wants to listen, you know, just feel like a preach. You know, it's a wonderful thing to preach the gospel. And as we mentioned over in Corinthians, the 9th chapter and verse 16, we find the Apostle Paul saying, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For though I preach the gospel, the good news, praise the Lord, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. See, there's a necessity that's laid upon me. It's not so much that I just love to preach or that I just like to preach, but there's a necessity laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. May the Lord help us. Do you love preaching? You know, and when you begin to look at the word of God and follow the word of God, you know, the word of God is not getting very popular. But we find over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, maybe if your preacher is preaching and you want to try to figure out what's wrong with him, why he keeps preaching some of those old time doctrines and those old time teachings and keeps going back to the word of God. Amen. But the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, he says, I charge thee therefore before God. See, there's a charge. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Amen. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, the word of God said in the last days, perilous times shall come. You know, we read that, we teach that, and then we keep right on going as if we're not living in those perilous times, but we are living in those perilous times. The time shall come that shall not endure sound doctrine. That time has come. Amen. We're living in that time. See sometime big mega churches, places crowded, all those people out there, men up there playing the guitar, maybe with their earrings on and long hair on and everything else, and the whole crowd is just enjoying the music. Amen. Are people actually even interested in sound doctrine? How is it that you can actually be involved in a worship and before the people and all the different things, even preachers up preaching the word of God with earrings on and different things like that, as if they can't read the word of God? And I pity all the people who just follow them and follow them and follow them, as if they can't read the word of God either.
But the word is saying they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, this is the time that we're actually living in. You know, when you think about the preacher that actually has a call from God, and they're actually preaching the Word of God. You know, it's one thing to have a burden to preach, which is a good thing. I believe that can come from God. I believe God can inspire. But we want to be careful that at the same time, we have a burden for the people. Amen. So we find some good preachers. Over in Luke, the 9th chapter, and verse 53, and may God help us that we don't get in a place like this. You know, there's some people that seem like they didn't want to receive Jesus. And they did not receive him because his face is as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, and I believe they were good preachers, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we should command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Feel we can do sometime as good preachers? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You know, I seem to bear in my mind another situation where they brought in the little children. And the disciples rebuked them that brought them. But Jesus said, suffer little children. See, where is our burden? You know, they were busy with the work of God, but where is our burden? I pray that God will increase our burden for the actual people. Not just to simply do that which God has laid upon us, but to have a burden for the people. Amen. Another good preacher. A whole lot better than I. Amen. Brother Jonah. Lord, send him down to Nineveh. And he finally got down there. You know, the Lord had to, you know, put him down in the fish belly and all these type of things. But he come up out of there and he got on down to Nineveh. In my mind, maybe it's just me, but I like to think that Jonah got down to Nineveh and Jonah was a fiery preacher. And I believe he told him, yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. The very effective message. Leave the king come down off his throne. Amen. Seemed like the whole country turned around. Amen. You know, God sent him down there to preach. And he went down there and he preached. But in my mind, God didn't tell him to stick around and see what happened. But I believe that's Jonah. Because I don't like these people anyway. Tell you the truth, I want them destroyed. Good preacher. Amen. Effective preacher. But I don't care about these people. May God help you and I. Lord, open our hearts. hearts. Lord, open my heart. Give me a greater burden for the people. Said, and God saw the works, they turned from the evil way, and the God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. And he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now that's an odd one. Evangelists get all upset because so many people turn to God. Amen. What is your motive? Well, and God said unto Jonah, verse 9, doest thou well to be angry for the Lord? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then the Lord said, thou hast pity on the Lord. You know, some of the things that we can cry about, and some of the things we don't care about. Amen. May God help us. May God help me. Help us, Lord. You know, the Lord touched my heart just the other day when he said something to me about a certain individual, and he said, they have a soul too. Lord, help us. Amen. Maybe that one that seems so contrary to you, and that one that's so contradictory to you, that one that seems like they're always your adversary, they have a soul too. Thou hast pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in the night. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city? Where is our burden? Wherein more than 6,000 persons, 60,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. These people don't hardly know right from wrong. Amen. That's 120,000 people, if my corrections are right. Amen. Jonah's saying, I do well to be angry. But then I begin to turn around and look at those that, you know, they could have just, no doubt, walked away, so to speak. But yet they seem to have a genuine burden for souls. And you know, I seem in my mind, I seem to hear brother and sister sober singing the song, wait a little longer, please Jesus. Amen. Just a few more days to get our loved ones in. Do we have an urgency deep down within us? Do we actually feel a burden for souls? Lord, help me to reach out just a little more. Do we hear the songwriter saying, let us go a little farther? Farther than we've gone before. Amen. Are we workers now for Jesus? You know, we heard about now faith. But I'm thinking about, are we workers now for Jesus? Do you have a burden? Pray that God will give us a greater burden. You know, the man, he touched his eyes, and I believe he said he saw men as trees. You know, sometimes we can almost see people as trees. Lord, help us. Homeless people here and there. Touched him again. He saw men as men. Do we actually see people as souls? Is there something that goes out in our heart? Amen. Is there a challenge there for? But we find Abraham. And the Lord was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what, Abraham? Because, yeah, I heard all about Sodom. I know all about that people over there. It's just a bunch of wicked people down there and everything. He had relatives down there.
But I don't think it was all for his relatives. Said that Abraham drew near. Are we ready to draw near to God for the sick, the suffering, for those that are around us that are going astray in the ways of sin? May God help us as a people, as a church, praise the Lord, that we can be reaching out where we can by the grace of God. Lord, give us a greater burden for the people.
Abraham drew near and he says, "Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Prevent should there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and spare not the place for 50 that are therein?" You know, and Abraham kept pleading before God, kept pleading before God till he got all the way down to 10. And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it for 10. But the man was concerned. Do we have a concern? Could you use a greater concern? Could you do with a greater burden in your congregation, wherever it is? Do you have any souls there you're trying to reach? Is there anybody over there you're trying to work with? Or are they just people, well, they'll never amount to anything? Lord, help us. Amen. Moses is deep. The people had sinned over in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, it says, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin. And have made themselves gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not," and Moses is really getting involved here, "and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." That's going pretty deep. You know, Brother Hezekiah was told some news and the things that were going to befall his heritage, his people, after he died. And he said, "Nevertheless, there shall be peace and safety all my days." You know, sometimes we can be like that. Well, everything's well with me. A lot of these people out there just got what they got coming to them. You reap what you sow. Maybe that's so. But we find Moses pleading. Amen. To the extent he's saying, "Blot my name out. If you can't forgive him, blot my name out." That's pretty deep, isn't it? I'm not advising you to go that far. And the Lord said to Moses, "Whosoever sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." But I'm just bringing out the burden that Moses had. I believe a burden that come from God. You know, you got Brother Jeremiah over there. We're talking about a burden for the people. You know, it's one thing to have a burden to preach. It's another thing, I believe, to have a burden for the people. And we need them both, praise the Lord. But may God give us a greater burden for the people. Had somebody tell me one time, they the preacher and talk about preaching. Maybe I was looking at it wrong. Said something about preaching. I don't care. You know. May God help us. So I'm saying that maybe we need some help where we do care. You know, people may turn away the gospel, but how do we feel about that? Well, I don't care. You know, Lord, help us. You know, the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he turned Jesus down. And he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. But I believe it says something like this, that Jesus beheld him and he loved him.
Amen. May God help us. Sin is out there. Homosexuality. All these different things. How do we feel? Do we yet have a love? May God help us.
Jeremiah 9:1. May God help us all. Oh, that my head were waters. Are you coming that way? And mine eyes a fountain of tears. Are you weeping for anybody? Amen. Are you weeping for anybody? Is there anybody on your prayer list that you getting down before God for that you've been crying tears? The Word of God says He bottles up our tears.
You got any tears up there that have been bottled up? Jeremiah saying, oh, that my head were waters, my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Talking about a burden for the people. Amen. Preachers that have a burden, pray that God will increase our burden. Pray that God will increase our love. Amen. What's that songwriter saying? We need each other, brother. What number is that? There it is right there. See, the Lord will help you out. Now if I can find the verse that I want. But it's saying something over there about our brother. You know when he's there believing is, Lord, give us true warmth and affection. Do we need some more of that? Praise the Lord. True warmth and affection. When one falls, help us rescue his soul. Do we have some real love down in there? That, well, he fell down, but may God help us to rescue his soul by the grace of God. He's not heavy, for he is my brother. Let us cry as we carry his load. See, we're talking about a burden for the people. Luke 19:41. You find over there that Jesus, yes, Jerusalem, those people, they crucified him. But it says over there, may God help us, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. And he wept over it. Lord, have mercy. Saying, if thou hast known, even thou, the least this day, the things which pertain unto thy peace. Are you weeping over anybody? But now they're hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side. And lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. He wept over Jerusalem. You know, he had a passion and a burden. And I think about all these apostles giving their life for the gospel. You have the apostle Paul. And he's over there, let him know in Acts the 20th chapter. And you look at verse 27. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Amen. This brother was right there with him. He preached the word. He believed, being in season, an instant in season and out of season. And he goes on, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Amen. For I know this, that after my departure, you know, we can be concerned sometime what's going to happen after we leave. May God bless and help the church. It says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This man is burdened. Amen. It says, therefore watch and remember. I want you to remember this. That by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Amen. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know, this inscription right here, this part of the scripture bears my mind. There are many faithful ministers that have gone on before. But it bears my mind to Brother Herschel Hargrave. Believe he was suffering with congestive heart failure. Still yet getting up preaching the gospel. Remember when he made the rounds and come on down through Boley, Oklahoma. Seemed like he was about so weak till it was about all he could do. But he got up and he preached the word of God with as much fervor as he ever had, I believe, preaching the word of God. As if he was going to preach it till his dying breath. Apostle Paul is saying, by the space of three years, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. Amen. In Acts, the 15th chapter, as we begin to close out, is talking about there men that have hazarded their lives for the gospel. Amen. Talking about a love for the flock. Talking about a burden for the people. Acts 15:26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we close out with St. John, the 10th chapter, we think about ultimately a burden for the people. In crisis. Showed us very vividly in the word of God. Then verily, Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that life. They might have it more abundantly. Christ has the more abundant life. Christ is saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. Amen. May the Lord help us. We think of all the apostles. I believe none of them died a natural death except for John the Beloved. Peter, they went to crucify him. I believe he let them know, crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord. We find they were people that had a burden for the people. May God help us and increase our burden for the people. Pray for me.